everybody, and welcome to episode 127 of the Fun with Cars podcast, covering the Formula One Australian Grand Prix. I am Jim Lau from Fun with Cars World Headquarters in Metro Detroit, Michigan.
And I'm Robin Warner from somewhere very far away, actually outside of Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, man, but you are on the show, my friend. That is huge. This is a big, very big step forward. For any of those of you who haven't followed us since the last podcast, which is a preseason update all the way back in January, seems like forever ago.
It seems like a long time ago.
There's actually been quite a bit going on for both of us, but you've had a little bit more eventful February than most. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that went?
Well, you had a couple things going on that were a little bit more planned than me, but I ended up having a nasty spill, and I fell, I believe someone told me, just under 40 feet. There's a little bit of debate about how much I fell. Anyway, it turned into a big deal, and I've been in the hospital for the past several weeks and working through a couple injuries here, but hey, man, anything for Formula One. I'm here, and I want to talk to you about this.
That's big. It's very modest of you to say a nasty spill, because that really was pretty scary for a while there. I heard of, you know, air ambulances and emergency brain surgery and all kinds of crazy stuff, so we don't need to go into all the details, but I'm just super, super glad to hear every step of your recovery, getting back from, like, hey, he can move his hands, to, like, hey, he knows his name. I mean, it's been all these big steps along the way, and the fact that just, a month later, not even a month later, you're able to join me on the podcast. Of course, we're not in the same place. We weren't able to watch the race live because you're still going through all the physical therapy and all the nonsense. And I guess it was originally in California. Now you're in Colorado, so you're slowly moving your way across the country. But, dude, you're able to join me on the podcast. That is fantastic. So thank you very much for taking the effort.
Thank you very much for saying so. Yeah, I was in an induced coma for a little while, and there are a couple of steps and a couple of times where things were looking kind of dire and kind of scary. But I've been very lucky since then, and, you know, I'm working back towards normal, and, talking with you about Formula One is definitely a highlight for me, and one of the things I want to do, and hopefully things will continue to get more normal, more easy for me, and we'll be able to join each other in the Formula One headquarters sometime in the near future. But in the meantime, you know, being able to see and know a little bit about Formula One in Australia was fantastic for me, and I'm great that we got to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. So I wonder, I guess, if this can be considered part of physical therapy, if we can bill your insurance and charge them like $6 million to do the podcast, then we may have actually found a way to make money doing the Fun with Cars podcast. That may be it right there.
They'd probably be happier with me if I was jogging in place while we were having the conversation, but I'm actually just sitting down. So
yeah,
I'll have to think about how I can manipulate this into physical therapy, but it is definitely therapy for me, and I can't wait to talk about it.
And me too, man. Just with everything that's been going on, as you mentioned, I've had some other medical stuff. We've had this whole Fun with Hospitals post that it's really no fun at all. And unfortunately, I don't think you and I, or either of us right now, are in a position to actually have any fun with cars. I did drive the other day, and it was kind of miserable because I actually had a tumor removed from my spine, so I've got a bunch of screws and rods and stuff holding my back together now. And I'm getting better, and this wasn't an accident, so it wasn't out of nowhere. It's something I've been dealing with for a while, and finally had this operation. So I've been working from home and all that, which the good news on that is that I'm able to actually sort of have a weird schedule, as long as I get all this work done, that I can stay up late and watch the Grand Prix live from Australia. So that was actually
a good silver lining.
Yeah, a bit of a benefit. But yeah, I'm not really able to have fun with cars right now. And who knows how long it'll be until, you and I are able to, share in the race car again and get out and do that. But, just to be able to share with you, you know, what's going on with the Formula One weekend, to share with all of our awesome fans. I mean, once I posted about what was going on with you, and to a lesser extent me, with hospitals and everything, we've just had this awesome outpouring of support. So I want to just thank our fans who've been following us on the blog and the podcast and the Facebook and Twitter pages and all that, because they've been awesome. We've had people even send us cards and all kinds of stuff. So it's really been great, and that's been fun. But dude, Formula One, man. We didn't talk about testing because that was all right when you and I were incapacitated and whatnot.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, when it's in the off season and there's no real race to talk about, it's kind of exciting because you're like, oh, there's lap times and I want to read into this and blah blah blah. But like,
yeah, you're like, oh my god, something's happening in these cars that we've been talking about are actually moving around a track again.
Right.
But then you instantly have to say, well, this doesn't really mean anything because X, Y, and Z reasons.
Right.
But now it's a race, and it definitely means something.
And then even Friday practice is exactly the same thing. I'm like, exciting, yay, there's Formula One cars, and they're moving on track, and it's a green light, and it's a session, but it's just practice, and it doesn't really matter. But what was interesting was, you know, how much, you know, sort of this political or sort of the mind games everyone's been playing about, oh, Red Bull must be sandbagging, they're probably really fast, you know, there's no reason to think they wouldn't be after a really successful end to last season. So, they're probably sandbagging, you know, hiding their real pace. And Lewis Hamilton, obviously switching to Mercedes, is always like, oh, you know, I'm not expecting to win this year, and kind of, you know, downplaying. But then in practice, it was like, you know, really good looking results for Mercedes. You know, Nico Rosberg was looking really strong. I mean, qualifying was all screwed up. I guess this was the first time ever qualifying was split over 2 days. You remember a couple years ago?
Yeah, qualifying was very interesting. And that was the first time where I said, wow, okay, Mercedes really is in trouble. Even during Friday practice, I thought, okay, whatever, they're just doing their thing and going through their weekend, and they'll come through when it counts. But to see McLaren struggle as much as they did, to see Mercedes do as well as they did, to see Red Bull be as dominant as they were at the earlier part of the weekend, I mean, it's very fascinating. And it is, if things continue this way at all, we are definitely going to have a different season than last year.
Yeah, and so, you know, after, I forget now exactly what the lineup was after practice. I think Vettel ended up being on top of things in practice. But in qualifying, remember a couple years ago in Japan, we had qualifying that was rained out, so it was just moved to Sunday morning. But this time, they got through Q1, but then it got later and later and later. They had to bump Q2 and Q3. So it was really a very disjointed session. I mean, that's apparently the first time that's ever happened. But, Checo Perez was out in Q1. Just kind of made a bad call with tires going on to dry tires when it was really too wet to for those to work, and then came back in and got another set of dry tires, which is sort of one of those kind of everyone, you know, after the fact especially, looks at that call and was like, why did you come back in and not get wet tires? Because Button
right,
did the same thing. He went out on slicks, and he says, nope, that's not going to work. Came back in, got inters, and made it through to Q2 and 3. So, you know, it was like a sort of a miscall. Is like, is that a team thing? Is that Checo, you know, is that them not communicating quite right yet? Because they're not, you know, it's obviously there's a lot new going on there with, you know, upstart Checo Perez at new McLaren and all that. But yeah, overall, I mean, Hamilton has to be happy. A little bit. I mean, Rosberg was top Q1 and Q2, like, just really seemed to have the intermediate tires under control in the wet conditions. But
Hamilton's right there, and there's, you know, obviously points where Hamilton is even faster than Rosberg. It's very good that Rosberg's faster than Hamilton in some key components, but Hamilton's clearly right there and seems to be enjoying the team experience so far, and Mercedes seems to be on an upward swing. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep this through Malaysia and on into the season. But,
Hamilton's got to be happy.
Start for them.
Not only for that, but for Hamilton to look over his shoulder and see how far back McLaren is and be like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, because that was the whole big thing, of course, is like, how boneheaded can you be, Hamilton? You're leaving this top team and going to this team that's mid-pack at best and very sketchy and whatever. And, of course, it's only one race and it was disjointed qualifying and blah, blah, blah. You know, we have to sort of, there's still some caveats. Like, yes, it's a race and yes, there are now points in the book. And, you know, Mercedes has outscored McLaren by quite a bit. But, you know, just to not only say, hey, the Mercedes actually came through and had some pace in both Rosberg's hand and you know, in Hamilton's, but also to look back at his former team after all the media nonsense and be like, oh, yeah, no, we definitely out-qualified McLaren by a whole lot and outraced them. So,
oh, yeah.
So that's cool. I mean, Rosberg did have an electronics failure in the race and had a retirement, but, you know, for Hamilton to hang on as well as he was able to do was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, Hamilton ended up scoring fifth, where the best Jenson Button could do, which was, in fact, the leading McLaren, was ninth.
Yeah.
And he was saying that ninth was a good result for them, and they're not sure they'll be able to maintain that. And then he went on to say that McLaren has a lot of work to do, and it's going to take a lot of time for them to get to the front.
Yeah, and they sort of said that they sort of can't, they're not understanding their car, which is like, you know, it's kind of one of those, I don't know exactly what they mean. I mean, obviously they built this car, but right. you don't, you know, you put different parts together and you think you have a direction with engineering and, you know, with how this suspension is going to work and how this aero is going to work. But at some point it is a matter of like, how do you know, we need to understand this thing. How do I drive this car? But it sort of, on one level, sounds really silly, but I kind of think I know what he means.
Well, and even Sergio, the new teammate, the young guy, was saying, yeah, this car needs work. It doesn't have good balance, doesn't have good stability, it doesn't have good aero. And this is, you know, this is their former Sauber driver, young guy, young Mexican, saying their car is in bad shape.
Yeah.
So clearly McLaren has to put their thinking caps on and do a lot of work to get both their teammates happy. They don't have their star driver who can drive around this nonsense. They have their experienced driver who really needs a good car, and they have the young guy who also needs a good car, and they need to build a good car. That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah, and speaking of, I guess, you know, young Hispanic drivers criticizing established teams' cars, Pastor Maldonado, that was an awesome segue, by the way, Pastor Maldonado said his Williams was undriveable. And it ended up, I think he was right. I mean, in qualifying, I had just a terrible, terrible run of it. He ended up out in Q1. He was the best of Q1, but in 17th spot. Of course, now we only dropped six guys at Q1. But, you know, so it looked kind of good. I mean, it will look good for Valtteri Bottas because, you know, his new teammate at Williams, because he was able to make it through. But Pastor Maldonado was not able to get his car out of Q1. And then in the race, just had a big moment and just ended up parking the thing in the gravel. Not quite enough to bring out a safety car, but sort of said, this car is undriveable. And then, like, you know, less than halfway through the race, was like, yep, oh, I'm done. I can't do it. And just lost it. And, you know, he seems like he's right. So that's another case where you've got, you know, they don't have old experience Rubens anymore in the car. You know, they just have to, you know, build on what they can and so on. But it's like, it's Williams, you know, it's Williams Formula One. This is one of the winningest teams ever. And yet they have built a car that they don't really know how to make sense of yet. And yes, they've got some good driving talent, but can they really develop it and can they move it forward is sort of a question. But so after a Q3, though, it was like, dude, Red Bull is back at it. Sebastian Vettel just owned his quality lap. He had a chance to do a second one, didn't even have to.
It just seemed, I was reading that with frustration. I'm like, wow, it's really going to be another dominant Red Bull session, huh? And then I read the race results, and I was glad to see that wasn't necessarily going to be the case. But still, you know, Red Bull clearly has built another car. You know, in qualifying, not only was Vettel fastest, but teammate Mark Webber was second fastest.
Yeah, and he was on a lap that was actually
very strong.
Yeah, and it looked like Webber was actually possibly going to pit Vettel for pole. He had a moment in the last corner, and I guess if he had gotten a better time, then maybe Vettel wouldn't have aborted his second lap. I mean, you could argue, you know, would Red Bull / Vettel let that happen? Who knows? But, you know, Webber was looking like really properly strong and on it as well. And I guess it's unfortunate for you with the way the timing and, you know, being as busy as you are with all the you know, stuff you got to deal with for the physical therapy and whatnot, that you haven't been able to actually watch these sessions, because, of course, it's different reading about it than sort of seeing it unfold and having the tension, let alone being up
at
4 o'clock in the morning, and then they're like, oh, it's a rain delay, and then you have to, you know, get up and, you know, you go to bed.
But trust me when I tell you that reading about it's a lot better than not knowing about it,
yeah.
Which was some of the case during winter testing. So I will take reading about it any day of the week right now.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the time when you and I can kick back on the couch and do our thing in you know, in person all that, and hopefully it's not too many races hence that we'll be able to do that. But so we go into the race and it's sort of like, okay, dude, this is gonna suck. You know, after qualifying, which was of course Sunday morning / like 8 o'clock Saturday night, which is when it was actually on when I watched it, which, you know, was just kind of weird. The way the whole timing worked out.
Yeah, sure.
And you're like, you know, it's sort of like, okay, dude, this sucks. So Red Bull's going to just walk away with it, which means everyone else is going to just start focusing on the 2014 cars, and this season's going to suck. I mean, that was kind of the, like, overall thinking. Like, okay, now Ferrari's going to, you know, everyone's going to focus on 2014. This is going to be a lame year and whatever. And then we had the race, and it was not there were tiny little sprinkles, but not enough rain to switch to rain tires. That was always a threat, which was kind of fun, you know, sort of like, oh, man, what if I stay out? What if this happens? Whatever. But
Our entire degradation was also a big problem with those super soft tires, apparently.
Right, I mean, especially...
Which, again, I would have loved to have seen unfold myself, but even just to read about and know that's the case, to both have the threat of rain and the threat of tire degradation at the same time was very fascinating.
Right, and I mean, so for example, like Jensen, so it really came unraveled for Jensen in Q3. It looked like he had... a timing, like he almost had it sort of figured out in a really clever way, where he went out with a lot of fuel to do like five laps so he could kind of get his tires up to temp, you know, set a time in case the weather gets bad, and then back off, but keep enough temp in the tires, and just, it looked like they had, you know, McLaren had kind of done their magic in engineering and worked it out perfectly, but it just kind of came unraveled for him that when he went for that final timed lap, it just, he didn't have the tire left. And then of course he had to start on those tires because he was in Q3, so like Jensen started on just like really hit worn out tires. And then, you know, after the team, and so he ended up 10th in qualifying. So, I mean, yes, Q3, but the very worst, you know, all that engineering was basically for naught. He could have stayed in the garage and started exactly the same spot as far as Q3. So that was unfortunate, partly because he was my prediction. Just to kind of see, like, you know, all this thinking and trying towards a direction, and yet it's still like, oh, wait, these tires are different from last year. We don't all have our hands on them yet, have our heads wrapped around them.
Right.
And so then a lot of people, you know, all this...
And they still seem quite sensitive to temperature.
Yeah.
Because that was something that came up with Red Bull and with Christian Horner. It's like, well, the tires weren't quite what we thought with the weather, so... that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds as well as the season progresses, is how sensitive are these tires to temperature and how much will that affect the race?
Yeah, and of course with it cloudy, you know, it's cooler than they've done. The winter testing was actually some pretty cool temperatures, but then like Friday practice was nice and warm. So, I mean, it's still, you know, we've talked about this. I remember, you know, the opening few rounds of last year when it was a different winter 7 times in a row, and it was sort of like, you know, finally we're going to know the true pace of these cars and this Pirelli tires. And it was like, oh, but except that, you know, Australia was weird. Oh, and Malaysia was weird. Oh, and China, well, that was rainy. That was weird. You know, like, we never really got to, until it was like the end of the season, we're like, well, I guess Vettel wins. But, it, you know, it's sort of like, when do we really call it that, like, we know what the heck is going on, or like the teams know what the heck is going on. But Red Bull don't have a handle on it. I mean, you know, they don't have, you know, Vettel wasn't able to Vettel himself away from the field. It looked like it in the very first few laps. But then, you know, these guys are on ragged tires. They end up having to do some pretty early pit stops. I don't know the whole thing because it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, right. And I'd been up all day and I was trying to live tweet
Weber
and do the whole thing.
Weber yet again had a crappy start, too. So
yeah, he left the handbrake
right from
on.
The offset, it was bad for Vettel's teammate.
Right. I mean, it was a very typical Weber start. It was, there was a KERS problem or whatever. I mean, there's, you know, we don't really believe in a lot of the sort of like, oh, I bet the team is doing this or that. But it's like, dude, what is wrong with getting Weber's car to work properly? That, you
right,
know, oh, there
exactly
was a KERS
right.
problem and like, oh, the launch control was weird or whatever. But, you know, I'm kind of watching this unfold and, you know, Hamilton was sort of slowly moving back. You know, he started third. The Ferraris both got really good starts. They were doing that. But then, like, you know, Hamilton was just sort of barely, you know, inching back. Like, he wasn't quite able to keep up there with the top. Then after a round of pit stops, I'm like, Adrian Sutil is in the lead. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting.
By the way, I wanted to mention earlier, he is actually the most exciting, and I'll call him rookie for fun.
Yeah.
He's the most exciting new driver to talk about. I'm super excited that he was able to get himself a ride again.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to watch him. And I think he showed great performance during this first race.
He showed incredible performance.
It'll be fun to continue to watch him.
Because you always figure, okay, like, yeah, he's just cycled up to the front of the grid just because everyone else, all the big kids have done, you know, done their pit stops and they're going to cycle around. But by the time he had to go and pit, you know, because he was able to start on the mediums because he started a little bit farther back, and it was Vettel behind him, like, had nothing for him. It was like DRS, like Vettel's DRS just didn't work on the Force India or something. It was amazing because you'd think, okay, Vettel... You know, people have given him crap for, okay, he can win and set amazing laps, but can he really pass? And then he's shown us, yes, he can really make passes and whatever. But, like, lap after lap, Vettel had to back off because he was like, I can't stay close enough to Adrian Sutil in the Force India, of all things. Like, I can't stay up close enough because I'm going to wear out my tires. So I have to back off to save the car, which was, you know, the smart thing to do. But it was like, How is it you can't just Vettel your way around him, dude? So by the time Sutil had to pit, Vettel right behind him had to pit as well. So they went into and out of the pits.
That's incredible.
That's
just incredible.
I'm like, how is this happening? You know, I mean, they were, you know, Force India has said for a long time, you know, that sort of they're like right there ready to, you know, kind of get the scraps if the top teams falter or whatever. But this was like a genuine series of laps where Vettel, it was, you know, car to car, similar tire condition and everything, and Adrian Sutil was able to hold off the Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel, like, legitimately, later on in the race, you know, and he was, I think, hoping for rain, because, of course, if it, you know, were to come down enough where everyone had to switch to inters, then, you know, it could have been timed perfectly, and there could have been a, you know, India victory, who knows, but, and that never quite happened. So later on in the race, okay, you know, Vettel, or, Sutil's tires went off, and you know, he lost another couple of spots, but it was a properly good performance. I mean, this wasn't just a random, it happened to be that you happened to be in this place and you led for a lap. This was like some actual pace and really pretty exciting.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he end up finishing in the top 10? I thought he finished 7th or something.
Yeah, he finished 7th.
So he scored points,
right?
And he showed really well for Force India.
And Paul de Resta right behind him in
8th. Really well for himself.
Yeah, so, you know, you know, it's not a win, of course, or even a podium, but it was like, you know, for a double points finish for Force India, you could do a lot worse, and a lot of teams did, like McLaren.
Right, exactly.
You know, so, yeah, so it was, you know, well played for them, and you know, just sort of, that's got to be exciting, you know, after being out of the sport for a year, and all these questions about money, and oh, it's pay drivers, and these guys suck, and there's no sponsors, and blah, 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 and then we had even the last minute switch around with Jules Bianchi in the Marussia.
Yeah.
Where it was going to be, Luis Racia, and then it was like, oh, wait, no, this guy, you know, your checks didn't cash, so we're going to hire this guy instead. Like, after all this craziness leading up to the season, for a team like that, and there's, you know, of course, you know, Force India does seem to have money trouble, you know, but good results sort of don't cure all of that, but that's certainly where you want to be. That's the direction to go to help fix these problems, and, you know, good for him. But, dude, we got to say, man, the Iceman, Kimi Raikkonen, at the end of the day, he just made it look easy. I mean, you know, you didn't get the pace of things, but it was like, after all this chamozzery, Felipe Massa was looking really good, eventually strategy-wise, and I guess I put that in air quotes, amazingly, Alonso was able to get around Massa somehow during the race.
But
Massa was looking really good in quality, he out-qualified Alonso, and he was looking really strong.
Massa looked really strong, and Massa seems to be continuing the pace he finished with at the end of last season, to show that, hey, I am worth it. It is good to have me on the team. I am worth having on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he
and
finished fourth.
Deserving his Ferrari drive, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because a good season and a half worth of Massa was, you know, almost a sad joke. So
yeah,
to see Massa qualify as well as he did and to be right there with race pace and his performance was great.
Yep.
But, yeah, you cannot discount Kimi Raikkonen and Lotus for strategy and being, you know, that much easier on tires and just being able to manage everything he did. And Kimi ended up winning very comfortably. So it was just a wonderful job.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little while where it looked like if Alonso, who was in second, and then there were some backmarkers and stuff, it was like, if Alonso can really, you know, knock out some laps and, you know, drive the hell out of a car that's not worthy, you know, sort of do his Alonso thing, then there's a chance he could get up and catch Raikkonen. But I was sort of looking at the tires and looking at the timing and stuff, and I remember posting this in one of the live things on Facebook or whatever. I was like, I don't know. I'm not feeling like looking at how much of a gap Alonso would have had to make up. I'm just kind of like, I think this is really looking like Kimi. I mean, this is after like the last round of pit stops, you know, three quarters of the way during the race, so it's not like some amazing prediction. But I was just sort of, you know, looking at all told, you know, it was a legitimate third place for Vettel. It wasn't like he was out the whole time in you know, way off in the distance, and then it just happened to have a bad pit stop or whatever. It was like third was the best, you know, Red Bull could muster. But Raikkonen was just sort of like, they just had a handle on it. It's a disappointment for Grosjean, his teammate, who was only 10th. I mean, yes, it's a point, but, you know, when your teammate is able to win the race and be easy on his tires and manage everything and blah, 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 that sort of doesn't reflect brilliantly on Grosjean, but it could have been worse. But yeah, so Kimi Raikkonen.
Well, and Grosjean did not crash out the first lap.
Right, he made it through the entire race, so bonus points for
that. That is good. That part is good.
Right, and and as it happens, all rookies finished, which is kind of a big step as well. So we had Nico Hülkenberg didn't even start the race, unfortunately, in his Sauber. They announced like sort of 5 minutes before the grid. They're like, oh, we have a fuel system problem, so we won't be running. And it's like...
And then Pastor spun, and I think you mentioned that before.
Yep, he had a spin, lap 24, so not quite halfway.
And then Rosberg had electrical problems, I believe, and he ended up retiring early.
Yeah, it looked sort of like a gearbox thing, but it turns out it was an electrical problem, but yeah, it just sort of pulled off and stopped. Daniel Ricciardo in the STR, near, was two-thirds of the way through the race, but he was in the pit stop. He was doing really well, and then they just pulled him into the pits and said, oh, you're done. But that means, so the last of the runners, 18th place, was Guido Vandergaard in the Caterham, who in our very scientific and important poll, as requested by my wife on our Facebook page, has been voted most dreamiest rookie. I don't know if you followed that, that is news
and newsworthy.
Right. So that was, when you're watching, free practice and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you find things to do to keep interesting. And, we were like, I wonder what these rookies look like and who's the most dreamy. So anyway, so he was last on track, but and he was two laps down, but he finished the race. I mean, that is an achievement. And all the rookies did. So just ahead of him was, Max Chilton and Marussia, in 17th, 16th, Charles Peak in the other Caterham, and 15th, Jules Bianchi. And then just ahead of him, the other two rookies, Valtteri Bottas and Esteban Gutierrez. So it was interesting that both Marussias out-qualified both Caterhams. That was sort of a new step from last year. It should be a good, because if that team can end up 10th, obviously that's lots of money and that's lots of cool stuff. But as it ended up, it was Marussia, Caterham, Marussia, Caterham. So sort of a split order there, but with a slight advantage to the Marussias. Esteban Gutierrez in the other Sauber, the only running Sauber, was finished as well. But so it was all the except Charles Peak down there. Otherwise, it was all the rookies at the back end. But they made it. It wasn't any like, oh, this new guy to Formula One crashed out on lap one or anything crazy. I sort of got
in a chaotic race. Let's add.
Yeah. So give them credit for
Formula One cars. This was also a chaotic race that they had to deal with.
Right. So yeah, so, I mean,
good for them.
Solid stuff. So McLaren, I mean, 9th and 11th. For as good as that team has been, that's sort of, I guess, a story we'll keep an eye on, right? To sort of see, is that a one-off because the tires and the temperatures were weird, or is it like just this car really sucks? They talked about, there was an article about them actually reverting to sort of last year's car setup.
Which was also, seems to be poo-pooed pretty fast. They said, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But it will be fascinating to see what they do to change the car. They're not going to be able to do that much for Malaysia, but then getting into the season a little bit, obviously they're going to be eager to change the car and move it up the grid some.
Right, although at some point, if their results suck, they're going to say, well, let's focus on 2014, and as you've probably seen as well, there's all these things saying, well, they're probably not going to continue with Mercedes, now that McLaren as a company makes their own supercar and in a way competes with Mercedes, and maybe they're going to have Honda power, maybe Honda's going to get back into the game once there's, twin turbo V or turbo V8s and blah, blah, blah. That sort of could be a very different team next year. And if that's the case and they know that coming up, then you'd think, well, they're going to want to start focusing on their 2014 car pretty early on, which means this could be a dismal season for McLaren, which you sort of hate to see. But ultimately, maybe that's worth it if they come out of the gate with a, they have a new title sponsor because they said apparently Vodafone will not be title sponsoring them anymore. A McLaren Honda. I know they're not affiliated with Marlboro anymore, but it could actually be something with a red and white livery. I mean, it could be like a very different looking and feeling team for 14. But you kind of wonder if and when they may write off 2013 as a season.
Right. And I certainly hope that doesn't happen. I hope that they improve enough. They want to keep cracking at it, partially because I'm still a big fan of Jenson Button, but also partially because McLaren's a powerhouse, and they deserve to be fighting for things up front and getting some race wins. So I really hope they can sort themselves out and move the car up the grid. But you're right. I mean, there's no guarantees that that's the case. And they might have to make a tough decision and say, we've got a lot going on in 2014. Let's focus on that. So it'll be interesting to see if that transition does happen and they do decide to shift focus. But with luck, they will be able to turn the tide on 2013 a little bit, and Jensen and Sergio will be able to have more success. The other thing that's really fascinating, though, is to see Mercedes' strength and see if they'll be able to keep that up, because obviously they won a race last year in Nico Rosberg's hands, but then kind of fell off the radar. So for them to start as strong as they have and have Lewis Hamilton now, is great, and I'll be interested to see if they can do this all season long.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's I kind of want to see everyone do well. Like, right, I'm like excited about Checo Perez moving up. You know, especially between he and Esteban Gutierrez, getting a lot of interest in Mexico and maybe Mexican Grand Prix coming forward and blah blah blah. Like, I'm like, I want those guys to do well.
Right.
But then I like Hamilton and I want to see him turn Mercedes around. And it's like, it's, you know, pretty amazing, you know, surprising performance considering where the Mercedes was last year. You know, and to, you know, to have as good a qualifying and as good a result for until Rosberg's retirement and so on. And you kind of wonder if Michael Schumacher were watching and if he's like, oh yeah, good, look, Mercedes, they finally got their car figured out. That's great.
Right.
You know,
right,
and exactly. I tweeted something sort of before the race too. I was like, thinking about Schumacher and Mercedes, I was like, doesn't that whole kind of Schumacher at Mercedes, like that 3 years, just kind of feel like a weird dream now? Because, you know, you think of Schumacher and it's like this Ferrari dynasty. I mean, if any, you know, Benetton and so on. But, like, Schumacher is like Ferrari and it's this, you know, championship,
you know,
seven-time record-setting, blah, blah, blah. And it's like...
It's actually funny you say that because one of the things I did while I was here in Colorado was watch a video called 50 Years on Board F1 that a friend sent to me. And the video was shot sometime in the mid-2000s. And the last season they showed was Michael Schumacher winning the championship in 2004. And it was actually very nice to see Schumacher and his 7 world championships and him in his top form.
Yeah.
And his Mercedes form is just, it's just tough to know that that existed and went the way it did, because the original intentions were to come home with an 8th championship, which obviously didn't happen.
Right. Nowhere near, yeah.
So the team struggled, Michael struggled, and now the team seems to be doing better, and they have Lewis Hamilton, who is obviously quick, and so it'll be interesting to see how they play out 2013.
Yeah, and but like you say, it's sort of, when you think back, you know, I don't think we're really, I feel like this whole 3 years of Schumacher at Mercedes is really just kind of be like a little footnote, like, oh yeah, Schumacher had this amazing career, and blah, 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 Ferrari, Ross Brawn, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, and then he raced for Mercedes, like, he had to come back and blah, blah, blah. But that's
right.
Not what matters.
Right.
So it's like already we're sort of past that era, and it's sort of interesting. So we'll see if he pops up anywhere. There's been some different stories about how, you know, like, German TV would probably love to have him as a commentator for F1, and he's like, I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, dude, I've got all kinds of money. I don't, you know, the last thing I want to do is, like, fly around and, like, have all the chaos and nonsense of living the F1 life without being able to drive an F1 car. That's, like, the opposite of what he would want to do. It's like, I want to...
Oh, yeah. Sit
on the beach, you know, doing nothing. Like, I'm doing whatever I want because I'm Michael freaking Schumacher, you know? Like, so it's,
well,
like, oh,
Michael,
yeah, you could be a commentator.
Talk to David Coulthard and see how Coulthard likes the new lifestyle, because Coulthard seems to be okay with his new deal. So maybe Michael should get something similar. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I do think Coulthard's got a pretty cool job. I mean, that's, like, with Red Bull doing, you know, these exhibition runs through the streets of New York and, like, kind of crazy stuff. So, I mean, I guess there you still, it's not just the commentator thing. It's like, kind of team ambassador and blah, blah, blah. So if Schumacher could, if he maybe homed himself to Ferrari, and then it's like, hey, your job is to go, like, you know, drive crazy, you know, drive the La Ferrari, the stupidest supercar name ever, go drive that around the streets of Monaco or something. It's like, that's not a bad deal. But, you know, just to be a commentator on its own, you know, I don't know. So I feel like it's Coulthard's job at Red Bull that's so cool, of like, hey, you're going to go do a filming day, and this guy is going to be in a helicopter, and Tom Cruise is going to be driving the car, and blah, 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 and you're going to be, like, you know, driving an SLS convertible, whatever, you know, whatever kind of crazy stuff they're doing. You know, that part of the job, that part of Coulthard's setup is probably cooler than, like, hey, I have a microphone, and I go to these races, and I talk about the race. So, anyway,
we
may not see much of Schumacher anymore. That's okay, but that era is over, and it sort of already feels like, just kind of like, did that really happen? That was kind of a weird dream.
Yeah. And it was good to see, in that similar vein, in your dream, it was good to see Lewis Hamilton as happy as he was, and to be able to get that top 5 finish, and to do well, and to perform well in that car throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
So I was happy for Hamilton in that sense, and I hope we can keep going for him.
Yeah.
But I do want to make sure that I get another shout out to Kimi Raikkonen, to get another win in, to do as well for Lotus, to be the only guy that successfully did the two-stop strategy, and to just make everything work for him as well as he did. I hope that the Lotus continues to perform for him, because I love seeing Raikkonen in a fast car doing fast car things. And
yeah.
I would hate to see Lotus fall off.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking exactly the same thing. It's sort of like, if, you know, especially after Alonso was kind of the underdog, like, we kind of like him again. It's like, it's really cool to see Alonso do well. You know, it sort of feels good to see Massa not being kind of a waste of a Ferrari seat. So it's like, oh, it's cool when he does well. You know, I guess the only thing is sort of Vettel and Red Bull. It's like, that's a bit boring if he just goes and wins everything. But it would be cool to see Weber do well, you know. But then it's like, when it came down to near the end of the race and it looked like Kimi Raikkonen had a real shot at it, I was like, well, that's cool. It's freaking Kimi. Like, he's back. He's doing his
right,
thing. Like,
totally.
Like, if, you know, all this talk and back and forth and blah, 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 and gamesmanship and, you know, oh, mind games and who's sandbagging, whatever. It's like, no, it's not the Mercedes. It's not the McLaren. It's not the Red Bull. It's just the Iceman. It's just doing his thing. It's like, quietly, like, we didn't even see him that much during the coverage because he had enough of a lead that he wasn't the story you'd follow. It was these mid-pack battles. It was, you know, Vettel trying to get around Sutil. It was, you know, Alonso.
Right, right.
It was all these things. So it was sort of like, oh yeah, and by the way, Kimi Raikkonen is winning this race. So it's kind of funny. So it was like, you know, 3:30 in the morning or whatever when the race actually ended. So I haven't watched the post-race stuff. So I haven't seen if he swore on the podium or whatever happened. You know, what they do for podium interviews yet this year. I haven't seen that stuff yet.
Yeah.
And you
yelled at.
Yeah. And you, I guess, haven't seen NBC coverage yet. I mean, that's the other thing we've been talking about in the offseason is sort of this meta, the coverage about the coverage. Of course, Speed Channel is out. It was on NBC Sports this year. And the coverage, I guess, to give you the brief rundown or for those that are interested. Well, it's mostly the same. I mean, because the team is mostly the same, except Bob Varsha. You know, we've got Lee Diffie as our head guy. But otherwise, it's David Hobbs, it's Steve Matchett, Will Buxton in the pit lane. It does seem like they've got more of a budget. I mean, they've got a cool intro. They've got a whole sort of studio thing. They had a countdown show that was like a week before the race. They have a half hour after the race called F1 Extra, which I haven't watched yet, but it's apparently they sort of did it live after the race. So it could be cool if that's, you know, Will Buxton going around the paddock talking to people and kind of getting those insights that we didn't normally used to get.
Well,
it used to be...
that's good. They're putting some efforts in there.
Yeah.
And it's a little odd for it to be mostly the same team, but not altogether bad.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to being able to see it soon.
Yeah, it should be good. So some weird notes. I mean, it's unfortunate their first race of the season, and then they had this weird qualifying delay. So as it happened, you know, qualifying was actually on at 8 p.m. on a Saturday, which is, you know, the primest of prime time. I have to imagine they had some live soccer match or something going. So they couldn't preempt that for qualifying. So it was a little bit awkward because, like, NBC Sports was tweeting about qualifying when it was actually happening, when the whole rest of the world was tweeting about it, even though they didn't show that until 12:30 a.m. So it was sort of like, you know, it's a bit damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, what are they going to do? They can't, you know, they can't. There'd be so many people upset if in the middle of this primetime match they're watching on, you know, 8 p.m. on a Saturday, which I think was some giant game anyway, which tells you how much I'm following, you know, ball and stick sports right now. You know, if it's like, hey, we interrupt this game on total prime time to go to, like, you know, two sessions out of three of qualifying for this race. But, you know, it would have been cool if they said, hey, let's, you know, throw that on CNBC. He's got nothing going on. So let's, you know, show it live somewhere or live stream it online or something. You know, NBC did talk about live streaming online. That would have been a perfect solution if they had that available. But that option has not become available yet. I have the NBC, you know, live streaming app on my phone. And there's nothing about F1 in it. There's some golf and there's some NHL and there's some other stuff. But so, like, that hasn't really happened yet.
Which isn't really for us.
That's not really what I'm interested in following. So that would have been cool if they sort of had said, hey, we can't show this on the TV channel, but go to NBCblahblahblah.com and stream it live. So I was able to stream it live through another European website and at least sort of follow it. There were some little things like that where, but that's not really their fault. I mean, this is, you know, the first time ever that qualifying has been split up that way. So, you know, I guess they handled it as best they could because at least that meant if you tuned in at 12:30 a.m., you got the re-air of qualifying, so at least you got to see it, and then it went right into their half-hour pre-race show, right into the race, and then their half-hour wrap-up show, and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you know, as a fan experience, that's probably about as best as they could have put it together. Will Buxton is as energetic as ever, and it has been fun because it's been a while since you and I have done some races live. I mean, I guess, well, we did, you know, the U.S. Grand Prix, I guess, was live, but you know what I mean.
I thought Will Buxton did a good job at Speed.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he was given the nod and carried over to NBC Sports. To me, I didn't know that. So to me, that's a win. That's a plus.
Yeah. And he seems sort of re-energized by the new job and wanting to do well and all that. I mean, so, you know, following all this tweeting about it, NBC Sports, their F1 Twitter feed is actually pretty, you know, pretty legit in terms of it's, you know, an interesting, it's interesting. It's not just sort of like, this just happened on this lap. We're like, we know that we're watching the race, but like some actual little insights and some little things and some, you know, some of it's sort of funny and whatever. I was like, so yeah, overall, I've got to say it's pretty good. And we'll see. I mean, I think in general, as exciting as it was to stay up late for Australia, for a race that starts at 2 o'clock in the morning is one thing. Next week, Malaysia, the race starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's more like getting up super early rather than staying up super, super late. So I don't think I'll be doing that one live. But
Jim, you just got to commit, man.
Yeah, well, man, I don't know.
You got to come up with something with the back that wakes up at 3:47.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, my back really needs to stretch out. Ooh, look what's on. And boom, there you are.
That, which is exactly what happened with the 24 hours of Dubai. Because I was in back pain, I woke up at 4:45, and then I was like, oh, as it happens, the 24 hours of Dubai starts at 5 o'clock in the morning. So that's when I started watching that live. But thankfully, since I've had, you know, the freaking tumor removed, I don't have that back pain anymore. So, like, as a general upside, I can actually sleep all the way through the night. So the downside of that is I may not be awake for the Malaysian Grand Prix live, but whatever. I suppose, though, if you are sitting there, you know, with all everything that's gone on with you and literally through a jaw wired shut are doing a podcast, I guess the least I can do is stop complaining about how tough my life is.
Yeah, my life is, I wouldn't say tough right now, more interesting. And I've definitely got the interest of many folks, but I'm not sure the word tough quite fits.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'm going to leave it to you to do the tough bits, like waking up at odd times in the middle of the night to watch the race. And I will continue to read about them or watch delayed coverage.
Yeah. So, I mean, but both of us, I think we can agree, like, cool season opener. It's good to see that Red Bull didn't just run away with it, and exciting to see kind of, where does Mercedes come? Where, you know, is Force India really going to be a factor this year? Is McLaren going to get on their game? Like, kind of just, it's fun, man. It's actual races. It's, you know, points on the board now, and I think that's great, you know. And so right now,
well, I'm excited to watch it as well. And as you spoke about earlier, super excited to be able to watch it together sometime in the near future. Won't be the case for Malaysia, but hopefully sometime soon.
Yeah.
And can't wait to have the 2013 season unfold, because, as you said, this was a great way for it to start. And Kimi Räikkönen and Lotus are great winners to start with. And it's also really cool to see Ferrari doing as well as they do early on. And we'll see how McLaren can untrip over themselves and fix these little issues they're having.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of new drivers to follow, too. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of great things for 2013. And then, of course, 2014 is going to bring a whole plethora of things for us to follow. So, yeah, it's going to be a good season. Next season is going to be good. I already know it.
Yeah, and well, as it stands, I just looked at this and sort of maybe give a quick rundown, because this was news to me and kind of interesting. Ferrari leads the Drivers' Championship, or the Constructors' Championship, with 30 points ahead of Lotus, who, of course, have 26 points, one from Grosjean and the rest from Kimi. So Red Bull is in third spot. Then just behind them is Mercedes, tied with Force India with 10 points, which is interesting.
Wow.
All of those teams are ahead of McLaren. McLaren Mercedes has 2 points and is now sixth, which is exactly half in the Constructors' Championship. So they're like
6 points, and their lead driver, Jenson Button, was surprised that they did as well as ninth.
Yeah.
And so, isn't certain that they'll be able to continue that pace.
I mean, you know, who would have guessed after the first round? It's like, oh yeah, Force India is going to have five times as many points as McLaren. It's interesting. I mean, it's cool that finally these are times that count. These are points that count, and just to kind of see it all unravel. And of course, the drivers' championship is the finishing order of the race, so there's no big surprises there. But you know, sort of wild to see, like, all right, already Ferrari on the board, man. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
So, listener feedback has been a whole different deal than normal. I mean, it's been the off season. There's been a whole lot going on. We have, you know, it's been a long time since we've done a show. We've had a whole lot of feedback. I don't know that there's really a way to distill that down into, you know, we have sort of limited time today anyway. I mean, I guess just as a very general, general shout out / thank you. I mean, our fans are awesome. All the people that have been following us online, if you just listened to the show and haven't been to our website, funwithcars.com, Or if you've never been to our Facebook page, just I recommend you check it out because there's always just engaging conversations on there.
Some very smart people talking. I mean, they have a lot of interesting things to say and good points to make.
Several people at the race that, like, I'm sort of tweeting about, oh, blah, 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 and people that are either in the neighborhood, they say, oh, yeah, I live in Melbourne and I'm doing this, or people, oh, yeah, I'm here in the grandstand. Like, it's just super cool because we've got fans all over the world, and I guess especially when the races are in English-speaking countries because that naturally is going to be most of our fan base.
That makes it a little bit easier, that's true.
You know, it's very cool, but just, you know, our top fans, I mean, I've been going back and forth on the Facebook page with a lot of you, so you know who you are, but it's just, you know, basically visit the page. You can visit, go to funwithcars.com and leave comments on each of the shows there. And I'm, you know, just there's too much to really just go into individual questions and all these various things.
I do want to say thank you very much to everyone that has sent any amount of sympathy and or support to me and Jim. And to my situation specifically, it's deeply appreciated. Do not worry about me, but thank you very much for sending support and thinking of us. And it's truly appreciated. And I can't wait to be able to engage with our fans and everyone more and more.
All right, it is good to hear that sound again. It means it is time for predictions. And as always, one of our top fans, Neil, prediction stud Popham, has been awesome in putting together the predictions app for 2013. I did a blog post and everything about reminding everyone to get in their predictions. So this is so far the biggest year ever for the Facebook predictions game, where you go on to
our... Which makes it the best, because bigger is better.
That is correct. So if you're not a part of this, it's still not too late to get in, certainly. You know, there's going to be a whole lot going on throughout the season. But this is where we try to predict who's going to be on pole, who's going to win the race. And we basically get points for however far off we are from accurate. But the fun part is you at home can play along by going to our Facebook page and clicking the predictions button. And we've got over 120 some people. It's been huge. I mean, we've had really, really good support for the first race, and I want to make sure that everyone keeps up with that, because that's the fun is when it gets down to the end of the year and we see who's really gotten, you know, a bunch of, you know, not just lucky randomly once and, you know, here and there, but who's really, you know, stuck with it through the season. So I really hope a bunch of you can keep up with that through the season and make predictions as you go. So Robin, you and I made predictions. This is from our Brazil show. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to add
before we go into our predictions, don't be discouraged if you miss a race or two. Points can add up fast, and that missing a race can be swallowed away. So even if you missed a race, let's say Australia, for example, jump in and join in. You can still do very, very well, and definitely do just as well from race to race, and even end up getting a really strong score over the season.
Right.
So definitely join in. It's a lot of fun. And even if you end up missing a race, keep joining in. It's a lot of fun, and we get to talk about it.
That is correct. So, unfortunately, I don't have the whole rundown on exact points yet, because the scores for the Australia race haven't come through the system, and your ability to spreadsheet at a normal pace has not yet returned. That was a big part of our pre-race prep in the past, was this massive, awesome spreadsheet. And I guess maybe at some point you'll have time to do that. But you've had other stuff to deal with, and that is completely understandable. But back last year in 2012, which is a whole different era in Formula One, I think you and I can agree, you and I made predictions sort of offhandedly at the Brazil race. Oh, who's going to win the next race and who's going to be on pole? I, which seemed reasonable at the time, figured that Jenson Button would be on pole and that he would go on to win the race. You, slightly more thoughtfully, thought Alonso was going to do well. And Damien, being a simple spreadsheet, just says whoever's on pole this race is going to do the same next, and whoever won is going to win next time. So he said that Hamilton would be on pole, and then that Button would go on to win the race, because that's what happened in Brazil. So you win with your Alonso prediction, because Alonso did much better than Jenson Button. My Button was the worst. Damien was more correct than I am, because, of course, Button certainly didn't win. But Hamilton was a whole lot closer to pole than Button was. So far, Team Warner is in the lead, ahead of Spreadsheet, ahead of me, and pretty soon we'll have all the full results for everyone. I did look through the results, though, or who predicted what, and I think we had three or possibly even four people who picked Vettel Raikkonen for this race. So we've got a couple people that are 0 points on the board, which, of course, is the best possible shape. I am not doing very well with my button prediction being, what, 10th and then 9th.
You will keep going, and you will strive to improve, I'm sure.
And all it takes is, you know, we've had all kinds of stuff from Vettel, you know, being taken out of a race in lap one to get, you know, and then, of course, with 24 cars, you know, you get more points than with 22 on the grid. So, you know, we've had all kinds of weird upsets where so-and-so, you know, Hamilton is on pole, but then he's disqualified because he didn't have enough fuel. So all of a sudden, you know, everyone who predicted Hamilton gets maximum points. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff happens throughout the year. So certainly I'm not giving up on predictions. I am all for moving forward, and I hope that a lot of our fans are as well. But that is the past. We need to talk future. So really, it's still a lot up in the air. In terms of what's going to happen for Malaysia, there's questions of weather. Is it, you know, there's a chance of rain every day. We've definitely seen rainy Malaysian races before. So, you know, who do you think? What do you think? There's not a whole lot to read into and look at trends yet, but
right.
I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. I have thought about it a little bit, and considering that we are so soon approaching Malaysia. And considering that it does expect to be warmer, I would think overall, despite the rain, I have to take what happened on Friday and Saturday into consideration. And I think that Vettel is going to do very well. I think he'll end up putting the thing on pole and winning the race, giving Red Bull another race to think about tires. I think Vettel is going to go ahead and maximize.
I'm going to say
Vettel on this one.
All right, I think you're right about Saturday, but wrong on Sunday. I don't think we're going to have Vettel dominance. I'm actually going Vettel Alonso for Malaysia.
Ooh, exciting!
Yeah, but you know, who knows, right? I mean, someone could have had Sutil, and they could have, you know, like, who knows?
Which would be fantastic. That would be the best way to lose, by the way, if Adrian Sutil came out, but. It'll be interesting to watch us compete this coming race then.
Right. So yeah, by the end of last year, I had a couple of good calls, and I ended up in lead, I think. But so it's fun for me starting on the back foot this year to see if I can claw that back, or if I'm just no good at predicting, which is certainly a possibility. So well done, sir, this week, and you know, we'll keep track on the Facebook page, and you know, big thanks as always.
I would normally have something very snide to say, but. My jaw is too sealed up for that anyway, and you've been far too kind to me over this winter that I just can't do it. So I wish you the best of luck, though I still think Vettel is going to be the performer. I'm going to stick to my judgment.
All right, well, we'll see as we move forward, and the next time you and I hang out, if I can buy you some Cokes, and we'll calculate in the meantime how many Cokes that ought to be. Awesome to talk to you. I mean, from not hearing from you for weeks and weeks to be able to text with you and then actually phone calls and then to get as far as we have to actually do a podcast is really been quite amazing for me. It's helped my healing process, I have to say, to hear positive updates on your situation. So massive thanks to you for just taking the effort and the time. And I'm sure you've got nurses and people outside the door waiting on you to try different things and push you and prod you in different ways and, you know, do different tests and things. So I appreciate you holding them off for a little while, and massive thanks to your family for letting you take the time to do this, and Anne-Marie for all her support, because she's been awesome all the way along. So
she has, and so has my family, and it's very much thanks to you for all the time and thought you and your family and your wife has put in to my well-being. It's deeply appreciated, and I'm doing just fine, and in large part thanks to you and people like you, so thank you. Hopefully things will keep improving and we'll be able to keep going, and I appreciate the support, and doing our F1 podcast is a lot of fun, so I hope Fun with Cars can keep going uninterrupted.
Cool, man. Well, so far we are 100% not missing a race, which is awesome. Who knows if we'll be able to do the same next week or not, but You know, point is, you are kicking ass at recovery. You are recovering at Robin speed, which is awesome. by the way, I have every reason to believe that if Checo Perez were to have similar injuries, he would be way behind you in terms of recovery. I'm pretty sure you're like, you've like lapped him several times. So no worries.
Well, who knows? Maybe it was Checo Perez because he was threatened by me and didn't want me to take his ride or something.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's actually a possibility. He may have been just trying to mess with you. So he was worried about the lemon seat, I think, for our in our prelude.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like trying to get in there. So anyway, awesome to talk to you. Thank you very much for listening. Everyone, just please, I guess, visit funwithcars.com if you haven't lately, and stay in touch with everything that's going on there. And we will talk to you at some point in the future. I am Jim Lau.
And I am Robin Warner. Thank you very much for the support. And more importantly, thank you very much for listening. Have a good night.